Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the row and pass it on down for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church. Following our service, we'll be back there shaking some hands. If you drop by and let us know this is your first time with us, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. We're grateful for everyone who helped out with the trunk or treat yesterday afternoon. We had opportunity to welcome a number of children and families from not just within our own congregation, but the whole community. At last count, we had just under 350 adults and children come and visit us last night. So it was a great event. Our October board meeting is today, right after this service, a little bit after noon in the upper room. We need to be sure to reach a quorum in attendance as we're voting on the new deacons and elders and church officers, as well as the 2020 proposed budget in preparation for the congregational meeting. That, by the way, will be on Sunday, November 17th, during the Sunday school hour, 9:30 here in the sanctuary. Please read through the information in the bulletin announcement page to learn more about several other activities taking place in our fellowship, including preparation for our turkey dinner. And speaking of turkey dinner, we have a special announcement from Gobbling Bob.
Would you believe it? 70 years we've been doing this turkey dinner. Please join us this next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning in the Fellowship Hall to cook and debone the turkeys from 8:30 to 2:30.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy and Bob. Let us rise for the call to worship. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Remember the Lord in everything that you do, and he will show you the right way. Let us sing hymn number 61, all stanzas.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, in love God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, God made their glowing colors and made their tiny wings. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, in love God made them all. The purple-headed mountain, the river running by, the sunset and the morning that brightens up the sky. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, in love God made them all. The cold wind in the winter, the pleasant summer sun, the ripe fruits in the garden, God made them every one. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, in love God made them all.
Thank you, Akir, for being our acolyte this morning. May we bow in a few moments of prayer. Lord God, we are grateful for the privilege of gathering in your house this morning in worship, praise, and fellowship with one another. We enjoy the smells of the season as we've begun preparing turkeys for our annual turkey dinner. We enjoy the camaraderie as we work together to plan our fall events, and also as we begin to plan for the Advent season just around the corner. Oh Lord, we ask for your guidance as we continue to journey through the fall season. Be with us in spirit and truth as we begin our worship this morning, as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you.
You bet on it, you got it.
Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as Andrew leads us in singing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Wow, look at how many kids we have. They don't have this many at first service, you know. What's coming up here pretty soon?
Christmas.
Yes, Christmas. What else? Halloween. That's what I... Yeah. No, well, the trick-or-treat passed, but Halloween hasn't passed. It's still coming up. So, I thought I'd talk about pumpkins today. So, if you had two pumpkins, and one was rolling around in the dirt, like out at a pumpkin farm or something, and one was carved, like, what did they call it? A jack-o'-lantern with a face, and it was in the dark, and you could see his face smiling. Which one would you like? The happy face. Good answer. I was almost afraid someone would say the dirty pumpkin. So I wanted you to think about how many people, when they see a pumpkin, probably smile, right? It's just a happy face. It just makes you feel good when you see a pumpkin. Sometimes people will put some goofy faces, but those are funny too. But pumpkins and the color orange just make a lot of people smile. So what do you think about, what if you were like a pumpkin kind of? If you were all happy and lit up when people looked at you and you smiled? Kind of an easy thought, huh? Be a pumpkin for the next few months. Pretend you're a pumpkin and smile. But you know what? The one that's on the ground that has the dirt all over it, that can be cleaned up pretty well too, right? You can wash the dirt off it. Yeah, you can bring it home and wash the dirt off, right? Yeah, you can clean it off. And you know what? If you're going to act like a pumpkin here for a while, you can clean yourself up too, right? Yeah, pretty easy. Yeah, you can clean you with water too, soap and water. Mm-hmm. You did? I have two in my car. I was almost going to haul them up here, but I left them in my car. That's what I'm going to do tonight. So I want you to think about something. I have a friend that's about as old as I am, like 60, and he was taught when he was little, he had to wash his hands and comb his hair before he came to the table. Wow, huh? Did you ever think about that? Yeah, wash your hands before you come to the table. So, if you're going to be a pumpkin and smile, why not be like the dirty pumpkin and clean yourself up, right? So, that's pretty easy to do. Let's bow your head. Dear God, help us to do the simple things in life that make people smile. It could be lighting ourselves up with some good thoughts when we see people, and it can be as simple as respecting people and washing our hands when we come to dinner. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
As we have the opportunity to go before God in prayer, we want to lift up Harry Booth as he was in surgery just this past week to repair an artery from a previous surgery. But as of yesterday morning, he was making good progress. Also, Bob Maddox turned out they had to go ahead and remove his left kidney on Friday. As the mass that was on top of it was not, they're not able to get that off in a successful manner to make everything function properly. But Bob, again, was also doing well yesterday morning when I saw him at the hospital and hoping to get home yesterday afternoon. Our sympathy is for Sue Criley with the death of her sister, June Martell, just a few days ago. Emily Bosworth was actually able to be in worship with us at the 8:30 service after she had been hospitalized for a fall, so good to see her. And we lift up Larry Whitten as he is anticipating gallbladder surgery. We lift up Joan Hamilton's brother, Matt Klein, in the midst of his recovery from surgery. Freddie Nichols' granddaughter, Serena, is now in a room of her own, but we keep lifting her up with the respiratory concerns that are still at hand for her. Arlita White's sister, Mary Triplett, is in our prayers. Barbara, we are so delighted to see you. God bless you. Good to have you back. Good to have you back, Barbara, with us. We just praise God you're here with us. And, of course, we keep you, Michelle, in our prayers every day. And, Linda, we remember you in prayer, and certainly your daughter, Lisa, as she is making that recovery from hip surgery. Certainly a number of other people as well that we've been keeping in prayer. Warren Roberts, some of you know him. He was actually, he told me last week, you know, he's going to be leaving Hawaii, and he was going to be in worship with us this Sunday morning. And sure enough, he was here at the 8:30 service. And I said, gosh, Warren, you swam really well to get here that soon. But anyway, he was with us, and Dorinda Hoke, who is often out and about, was also able to be with us at the 8:30 service. So we praise God for that. May we bow our heads in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are grateful for the privilege to once again assemble in your house to offer you praise and to be blessed by the presence of fellow believers. As we have lifted up the names of people dear to our hearts, and as we are mindful of the challenges faced by multitudes of your people each day, we know your Spirit offers great assurance and comfort to those who seek your presence. For as 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us, let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. And as we find assurance in your presence, O God, we pray that you may guide our paths so that our daily witness may be a beacon of hopefulness, that others may experience Christ in us and thus also experience the power of your great comfort and love. For as 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 reminds us, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Guide us this day and always in our quest to express a Christ-like witness in what we do and say, in hopes that others may see you in us. For even as Jesus declared to Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. This we pray, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Nathan, we thank you again for reading our scripture.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 14, verses 8 through 14. So now let us open our hearts and prepare ourselves for God's message for us this morning. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to be with the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that when the Father may be glorified in the Son. In my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Let us give thanks for this message today and for the knowledge that Jesus is always there for us, no matter what we need. Amen.
Scientists and technicians have said that autonomous driving would be simple, except for one major problem. Humans are so unpredictable. Unpredictable because they are always breaking the rules of the road. Training software to cope with all the rule breaking is actually the number one major problem in making autonomous driving a reality. Just yesterday, for example, while I was driving for less than an hour in the morning, I observed three separate drivers who deliberately ran red lights. Seated at our Lord's table, Christ's holy presence confronts us with the truth that we are, in our fallen nature, perpetual rule breakers who need to confess our sins before God to receive God's great grace and forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 reminds us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We seek God's forgiveness this morning as we prepare our hearts and minds to receive the bread and the cup of the Lord's table, as we sing the first and fourth stanzas of our hymn of communion, number 384, here at thy table, Lord.
Here at thy table, Lord.
table, Lord, this sacred hour. Oh, let us feel thee near in loving power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin, as to thy banquet hall we enter in. Come then, O holy Christ, feed us, we pray. Touch with thy pierced hand each common day, making this earthly life full of thy grace, till in the home of heaven we find our place.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, we gather in this sanctuary to celebrate all that you give to us daily. And we gather at this table in celebration of love you have for us, even when we feel like we don't deserve it. You say we are forgiven, and you bless these emblems so that we may be filled with your love and compassion. And we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. next Sunday will be what is called Blanket Sunday. It's an annual Sunday in which churches across the world receive a special offering through Church World Service to provide not only blankets, but many other essentials for people with the greatest of need. Essentials that help equip people in times of catastrophic challenges or help provide resources important for healthier living, such as clean water. We hope you'll prepare this week to make an offering to Blanket Sunday next Sunday morning, as we remember that many across the world lack the simplest of necessities. Lana offers up a word of prayer for us as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning, for the way the seasons change and the beauty we see in each one of them. We just ask that you would, today as we take these offerings and gifts, that you would bless those who need it, and we know that you are there to take care of us no matter what. And we're just grateful for the blessings that you give us. We're grateful for the blessings that this church has, the way that we are able to help other people. We just thank you for, as these offerings come in, thank you for the gift, thank you for the giver, and thank you for those who are receiving it, that they'll be known that they're loved dearly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. You know, we certainly are grateful for everyone who helped out with the trunk or treat situation here at the church yesterday. We had, I think, probably the best day weather-wise that we've had in the time that Carrie and I have been here with you all. It was a wonderful experience. We even had a visit from Patrick Mahomes, but he's shorter than what he is on TV. May we have a word of prayer. Loving God, we experience great joy in your house of worship as we are blessed by your Holy Spirit. And as our fellow believers, help us to see you. Help us, O God, in our quest to show others your great love by all we do and say. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Trivia question for the Sunday morning is, a well-known person made this quote. People don't know what they want until you show it to them. So the question is, who said that quote? People don't know what they want until you show it to them. Now the clock is ticking and the early service folks got this real quick. That's an idea. P.T. Barnum? Nah, wrong answer. That's okay, anybody else? People don't know what they want until you show it to them. Will Rogers, that'd be another good choice, but wrong. Anybody else? Who do you think said that? I'm sorry, Elizabeth? Henry Ford is a very good and close idea, but not quite, and we'll come back to him in a little bit later. Who else? I'm sorry. J.C. Penney, that's an idea too, but wrong. Well, you can't, you might get it, Carrie. No, no, no. You were at the early service. Anybody else? Now, what I find it, yes. Mark Twain. Mark Twain, you guys are coming up with good people that you think would fit that idea of showmanship. You all have got that really well, but the problem that's different between the early service and the service is the early service more of our younger people, and so they're thinking more recent than you all are. So got to think current time period, famous person. People don't know what you want until you show it to them. Jerry. Jobs, Steve Jobs, you got it. Bing, bing, you got the answer. Steve Jobs, that's right. That's really interesting to me because, again, we have more of our younger people in the early service, and they got that right off the bat. Now, Doris, however, I had asked her that question while we were visiting back and forth with the trunk or treat yesterday, and she said she was up till 3:30 in the morning trying to figure out that answer without looking it up on the phone, and finally it came to her. Then she could finally get back to sleep. Anyway, Steve Jobs is correct. At a 1982 planning retreat for the company, you know, the one that's a fruit? Apple, right? Steve Jobs said, "Some people say, give the customers what they want, but that's not my approach. Our job is to figure out what they're going to want before they do." I think Henry Ford once said, "If I'd asked customers what they wanted, they would have told me a faster horse." People don't know what they want until you show it to them. That's why I never rely on market research. Our task is to read things that are not yet on the page. Interesting. Again, the idea of foresight. Also, it's interesting, he did use market research, even though he's saying here, no, we don't need to use that. And what's really also rather interesting is he quoted who? Henry Ford, but interestingly enough, Steve Jobs got the Henry Ford story wrong because it's been researched, and no researchers have been able to determine that Henry Ford ever talked about this idea that people would ask for a faster horse. What Henry Ford did, however, was he showed people here in the United States what? A simple and even more importantly, cheap mode of transportation called what? Model T. And so from 1908 to 1927, Ford built 15 million of those. I thought my grandfather was rich because he told me that he had owned 3 Model Ts. What I really found out is, no, he wasn't rich. He was rather poor. It just happened to be he kept driving Model Ts for a long, long time. That's what that meant. It was the longest production run of any automobile until it was taken over by another rather simple vehicle in 1972. What was that? A Volkswagen Beetle. Took it on. The Bug. Volkswagen Bug. Okay, but anyway, 12 years ago, on the 9th of January 2007, Steve Jobs showed the world an amazing device. He stood up on stage and said, "This is a day that I have been looking forward to for 2.5 years, and today Apple, not the fruit, the company, is going to reinvent the, what is it? the phone, right. And he went on to describe a combination of three devices: widescreen iPod with touch controls, revolutionary mobile phone, and a breakthrough internet communicator. And he called it what? iPhone. You got it. iPhone. Now, today, with many other companies making this thing, we call it the smartphone that makes us feel stupid. Right? But what's interesting is that today, 96% of the U.S. population owns a mobile phone. 96%. There probably is not another device in which that high of a percentage of the U.S. population owns the same thing. And the smartphone has actually gone up to 81% of those mobile phones from 35% just 8 years ago. But why are so many smartphones out there among us? I would declare to you that it's probably because someone, and more than likely a relative, and probably a younger relative, who did what? Showed you one, right? Said, like my son, "Dad, you gotta have this. Here it is, you know." I think I'm on my third update. But the thing that's always frustrating to me about when my son says, "Dad, you've got to have an update of your phone," is he says, "Merry Christmas, here's the phone." But then he doesn't include all the stuff that has to go with it. You know, like the charger that goes on the desk at the church, the charger I got to use at the house, at the desk at the house, the charger that has to go by the bedside, and of course the charger in Carrie's car and the charger in my pickup. That's $150 right there. Some of you all in the same boat? You got it. But you have this device because why? Someone else showed it to you. That's why. That's why we have now microwave ovens built into our houses. We used to have them on the counter because someone had one in the house and we saw it. The first time Carrie was talking about a microwave oven, I said to her, "Why do we need a hot box?" You know? We don't need one of those. We got a stove. Well, we have one on the above the stove now, don't you all? Same way with so many other things we've got. But you know, last week I mentioned that the number of people in our country who say that they have no religious affiliation has actually been growing. The nuns are up from 17% of our population just a decade ago, and now those people who say they have no religious affiliation whatsoever make up 25% of our nation's population. Why is this group of people growing? And again, so many of those people will also say very blatantly, "Well, I don't even believe in God, much less have any religious affiliation." I would propose to you that maybe it's because so few of us, we people of faith, show God to them. The Apostle Philip knew from the Septuagint, as God spoke to Moses, who wanted to see God, that God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." But yet, with great earnestness, Philip had such a great desire to experience God that he said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need," in John chapter 14, verse 8. And as the verses continue with 9 and continuing on through 11, Jesus responds to Philip by saying, "For a long time I have been with all of you, yet you do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen" who? "The Father. Why then do you say, 'Show me the Father'?" You know, certainly, living among us, it is no mistake that God chose to have His Son come into the world and be one of us so that we may know God in a most intimate and personal way. Yet, how is it that we can really see God in Jesus? How can we do that? I think my pastor, back when I was first becoming a believer, he knew the mark. He said, "Dennis, I've got this paperback version of the Good News Bible. It was just the New Testament." He says, "I'm giving this to you. I want you to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I read and read and reread and reread those sections of that paperback New Testament to the point that Matthew and Mark fell out. But I really felt that back in that late grade school, early junior high time frame, that I had a real genuine sense of a living presence of Christ by immersing myself in just the words of how Jesus lived his life. Show us the Father. Jesus did that. At the Acropolis in Athens, Greece, Paul saw that the Athenians were enthralled by the curiosity of a magnitude of man-made gods, and so they had temples all over the city. And out of fear that they might offend some pagan god that they didn't know about, they also built a temple for what was called the unknown god. And in Acts chapter 17, we see Paul standing before the city council and saying with verses 22 and 23, I see that in every way you Athenians are very religious. For as I walked through your city and looked at the places where you worship, I found an altar on which is written to an unknown god. And Paul took that opportunity to say, you know, the God that you think you don't know, I know, and I want to show you him. And he went on to explain about the God of the Judeo-Christian tradition of which we are a part. And the text tells us that although some Athenians made fun of Paul, verse 32 tells us that others said, we want to hear you speak more about this. And in verse 34, some of them joined up and believed. Through words and actions, Jesus and the Apostle Paul were very deliberate in their endeavors to show others the presence of God that dwelt in their lives and through the Scriptures. You know, so many people today don't have any, I mean zero, comprehension about God or Jesus. Why? Because so many of our people are growing up in families in which they'd have no experience of being a part of the faith. So what are we to do to help show people God? Well, first of all, again, I encourage you, read the Gospels. You need to immerse yourself in Christ's ways so that it becomes a part of yourself. You do that through reading the Gospels over and over and over again so that those stories become second nature to you, that you know that as well as you know the statistics of Patrick Mahomes. Right? And then secondly, by experiencing Jesus, we begin to talk and walk in Christ-like ways, and people will see it in us. Thirdly, we need to be more deliberate in our efforts of expressing our faith. Just telling people about how we feel God's working in our lives. Fourthly, by being deliberate about inquiring to others about how their faith journey is. That takes a bit of a bold step. But oh my, it may make all the difference in the world for someone. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. And the fifth thing we can do is we can welcome others to be here. If you don't feel like you can show others Christ, which I know you can, but if you don't feel like you can welcome them here. And we all will be about that task, right? Jack, when I knew him, he was in his late 80s. He'd been a long time elder at the First Christian Church in Lincoln, or in Victoria, Texas. I thought he had come from certainly a long-standing family of faith. Truth of the matter was, when I got to asking him about it, he wasn't. When he grew up, his whole family had absolutely nothing to do with God. He had a girlfriend. He wanted to see her, so he went to church with her. As time went on, the relationship didn't last, but his relationship to God through Christ did. And he embraced the faith. And then for so many, many decades then, Jack continued to live the rest of his life in great faithfulness. But why? Did his family show him? No. He found Christ because someone else showed him. So what about you? Where are you? Yeah, we all got smartphones, because someone showed us one. Okay, that's fine, but that's near as important as some life in Christ. You know, Christ, if he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. And maybe today is that day you need to come forward, become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. Our hymn of invitation, number 108, Lift High the Cross, stanzas 1 and 4, hymn number 108, please.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Come, Christians, follow this triumphant sign, the host of God in unity combine. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. So shall our song of triumph ever be, praise to the crucified for victory. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. A reminder to our board members, we really need your attendance at the meeting immediately after the service in the upper room as we have the vote for our new deacons, elders, and this year we have junior deacons again. We praise God for that. And also, again, we have a vote for the new 2020 budget, proposed budget. So we do need your presence. It shouldn't be a long meeting, but we need those votes taken care of so we can be ready for the congregational meeting on the 17th of November. Again, tomorrow morning, 8:30, for those who can help, we certainly would appreciate your assistance with what? Turkeys. Yeah, so God bless you all. May we pray. Lord God, guide us as we journey forward, that our lives may truly be a living witness that may bring others to you. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks for the privilege to worship your name. Amen.
O Christ, the way, the truth, the life, be with us now, we pray. Direct our steps as we go forth to do your will this day. O faithful guide, renew our trust in love that does not fail. And give us strength to work and pray that peace may soon prevail.